Thank you, Pastor. So thank God for a pastor who shares the pulpit with most of the men in the church. Please turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. We'll be reading from verses 1 to 8. And if you could join with me, we'll read together verse 8. So Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. The Bible reads, "Put them in mind." "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And together after two, we'll read verse 8. 1, 2. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for your word. We just thank you for the truths found in your word, and we just pray that you'll come down and meet with us at this time. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll lead and guide, and that your name, the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be glorified and honored. For it's in His name we do pray. Amen. We see in Titus chapter 3, I just want us today to answer a question. And it's good sometimes to ask the hard questions as believers. And I want to ask you the question, how is your testimony hindering the cause of Christ? How is your testimony hindering the cause of Christ? Now, when I asked myself this question, I said, what areas in my life are affecting or stopping people from even coming to the Savior that I know? And I want us just to answer that question, because when I asked myself that question, I got rid of a lot of things in my life, which I thought were okay, but they weren't. So I just want us to answer the question, how is your testimony hindering the cause of Christ? And here we see in Titus chapter 3 that Paul is writing to Titus, and in chapter 1 verse 5, we see, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." So Paul left Titus in Crete, to him gave him the job to ordained pastors in the churches there at Crete. And we see that Paul refers to Titus as my partner and fellow helper concerning you. And he was writing to the church of Corinth. But in the end of the letter, we see in verse 8, which we read together, that he tells us something. It says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that they affirm constantly." So it's something that he wants us to affirm, and he wanted Titus to affirm to the churches, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And I want to just discuss today the area of good works in our lives. I know it's not by works, the works that save us, no. But as a believer, it says here that those that have believed in God, so for a believer, that we need to be reminded all the time to maintain good works. We see here, good works is in the Greek, I'm not going to pronounce it, but it has the meaning that better, and Gerda Wilson, and he's good at that, better and fair and honest. So it's the deeds that are better than others, that are fairer than others, and that are honest. And we see here that he's encouraging the people, Titus, to share with the believers there to maintain good works. In 1 Peter, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the Bible reads that, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." So he's saying that the heathen, the Gentiles, if they see your works, they should be glorifying God, saying, "This guy testifies, like his works testify of God, of the God that they serve." And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, if you turn with me there, please. Matthew 5. And in the Lord Jesus here, in verse 13, we'll read from verse 13 to 16. Bible reads, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth is there henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And verse 16 it says, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And the thing is that we should maintain good works is that so people can see our lives, and but that we don't get the glory, but God gets the glory for it. So today, in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible reads, in one of our memory verses, I think, for this month, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And this word provoke is to stir up one another, to continually stir up one another to so that we can do good. Why? So that the Lord Jesus can be glorified in our lives. And brethren, the danger is this. Many people profess to know Christ, but their lives do not testify of Him. And that is a danger, because we knock on doors and we meet people at work and we tell them that we're born-again Christians. And then they say, "I know born-again Christians. I know born-again Christians." People, I've had some people say, "Oh, what's the difference? They drink, they smoke, they dress like the world, they smell like the world, they talk like the world. What's the difference? I don't understand. There's no difference." But the thing is that we need to make sure that our works glorify and testify of the God that we do serve. So, we'll go back to our Titus, please. Titus chapter 3. And in verse 8, he tells us to affirm constantly. Titus chapter 3, verse 8, he encourages Titus to affirm constantly. But I just want to look at verse 1. It says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." Here we see that Paul was encouraging Titus in his letter to submit to the rulers and authority of the day. And now let's get the background on this. The Roman Emperor Nero was in power at this time, and this emperor was a wicked man, and he was known to burn Christians just to light up his gardens. And so here we see Paul writing to Titus and saying, "Wait, affirm constantly to the people of your church, to the believers, that firstly they should maintain good works, right? But also that they should be subject to principalities and powers, to the authorities in their lives." Now, this doesn't make sense to man, but to God it does make sense. For a believer to submit to one that is persecuting him and one that is wronging him is possible because we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who went on all the way onto that road to Calvary, and he was hanging on that cross. And he died for those ones that were sinners. He came and died for our sins. And he knew that although those ones that I love will persecute me, it is possible It is possible, and it is possible for us to submit to the powers in our lives. But as the Bible also says, that we are to obey God rather than man. But we see that they submitted, but they did not follow what they told them. In Acts, they said that do not preach in the name of Jesus, but they continued on. Anyway, that's just another sermon. All right, in verse 2, it says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So he's encouraging Titus to make sure that you're not a brawler. Be peaceable with men, and be gentle, that's patient and moderate and meek, be humble in spirit. So these are all these characteristics can lead us to people to look at our lives and say, wait, that's a good man or that's a good woman. And they want to know that the God that we know. But I just want to draw two simple applications this evening, and then I just want to answer the question, how can we maintain good works? And it's found in verse 3. The first point I want to look at is, how can we maintain good works? Verse 3 reads, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And these sins that are listed here, it says it's beginning, for we ourselves also were. And if you're a believer here today, the first thing that how we can maintain good works, we need to have the right view of ourselves. And I love that hymn that I'm only a sinner saved by grace, and that's what we are ultimately. And it comes down to it. And for us to continue to desire to do good in our lives, we just need to look at ourselves and say, okay, I'm just a sinner. And I was saved by grace. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He had a right view of himself, Paul. That he humbly, he acknowledged who he was and who Christ was, and he had a positionally, he knew who he was. And for us to have, to maintain good works in our lives, we need to look at ourselves and say, okay, these are the sins that I was saved from in the past, but it's possible for us to go back there. It is possible for us to go back there. But you may say, I'm a Christian. But if you refuse to walk in the Spirit, my friend, it is possible for us to go there. How can we maintain good works? We need to have a right view of ourselves. In Romans 2, verse 4, the Bible reads, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Our first verse is that we have the right view of ourselves, but our second point is the right view of God. And if we look at Titus chapter 2, verse 14, verse 14, Bible reads, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquities, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And if we read verses 4 to 6, and it says, for we, but after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. And verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we see here that for us to maintain good works, we need to have a right view of God. And our God, he speaks in verse 4, is his kindness and his kind and his loving. And verse 5, it tells us that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. So there's nothing that we could do, but it's by his mercies he saved us. So we have the right view of God, that he's merciful. And in verse 7, it's that his grace, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so once, as soon as we have the right view of ourselves, and we realize that, okay, I'm saved, I'm a sinner, I've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is capable for me to go back to what I was saved from. And then that we have the right view of God, and that He is a merciful and gracious God, that He did stretch forth His hand and He took us in to and made us part of His family. Those two things, as soon as we understand that, when we go and in situations in our lives, whether it's work or whether it's at college or school, whether it's in the ministry, we can always maintain good works because we realize that we deserve, what we deserve is hell. We've been separated from God all our lives, and it's because of His mercy and grace that one day we met Him. And then if we are to acknowledge that in our lives, we can maintain good works. We can continuously do good to those ones that persecute us. We continue to do good to those ones that say bad things about us. The Lord Jesus said that, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you." How is that possible? How is that possible, brethren? But with Christ, all things are possible. And this is what He has allowed us to do, but only if we have the right view of ourselves. Because if we don't humble ourselves and say, okay, if we don't humble ourselves and before God and say, this is what I am, and this is what God is, we try to do things in our own strength. And I want to go to Galatians chapter 5, Titus chapter 3, it says here, "Not by works of righteousness," in verse 5, "which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It was His mercy that saved us, and that He allowed us to have Himself indwelling in us through the Holy Spirit. And it's by the Holy Spirit's power that we are able to love our enemies, and that we are able to do good to those that hurt us, and that we are able to continue doing good around us, to the people around us. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, it lists the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And these things are all these, it's singular, it's a fruit. And all these things are what it should be the mark of a believer. And when we ask the question, how is your testimony hindering the cause of Christ? Do you have the love of Christ in your life? You know the love you see is agape love? The love that Jesus Christ came and He loved the world, and it's a sacrificial love. And if we truly are Christians and we are walking in the Spirit of God, then we can have that agape love, that sacrificial love. And I was so convicted on Thursday night with the pastor's message, because I was so challenged, because to be honest, I'm sharing my testimony now, I go through life and my life is not overflowing with the Spirit of God. I'm probably full this much, but it's not good enough as a Christian. And when I was preparing this message, I was saying, wow, you know what? If we were to be honest with the fruit of the Spirit, we can't just say I'm loving, but I'm not patient, or I'm not long suffering. They go hand in hand. It all goes as a whole. And for us to really glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit should be an evidence in our lives. Now, I just want us to reflect. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and let's reflect on what the fruit of the Spirit is, what the fruit of the Spirit are. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Verse 22, so it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," and we'll read the fruit together, after 2:1-2. "Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And then we list these things, and if we to be honest with ourselves today, which ones are evident in your life and which ones are not. And if there are some that aren't evident in your life, then that means honestly that we're not walking in the Spirit. Our lives aren't full of the Spirit of God, that there is an outflow. No, it's not. And what the world needs to see today and what our country needs to see today is a difference. Is a difference in Christianity. And the only way that we can really do that is not in our strength, because we're just sinners. We're saved by grace. But it is with God's strength, who what? He regenerated us, renewed us with His Spirit, and He gave us that we can continue to walk in His strength, and by His power we can bring glory and honor to God. And when Paul was saying in Romans 7:18, he said, "For I know that in me," and he says that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. It was so true, that point, when I was reading that, because he's saying that in me, in my flesh, there's no good thing, but the Spirit that dwells in us is a good thing. And it's just, we're totally warring this old man and the new man, old man, new man. And the problem is that we're Christians today, they're just choosing to just let the old man take control, and they say no to the new man, and it's hindering the cause of Christ. It's hindering the cause of Christ. I've just been burdened because I've heard people say bad things about Christians, and like, the thing is, I can't say that it's their fault at the end of the day, because Christians are just doing exactly what the world are doing. But Paul, let's go back to Titus chapter 3. In verse 8, it says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly. And it's that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." And it's that those that have believed in God. My friend, are you a Christian? Because what Paul was writing to Titus, he was like, make sure you affirm, but to those ones who are believers in God, that might be careful to maintain good works. So first and foremost, if you want to be a good person, or you want to, so to speak, or do good deeds in your life, then you need to be a Christian. There's no point in this gospel that go feed the poor and go do all these good deeds in life, but if there's no salvation, my friend, then really you cannot do any good deeds. So Paul was encouraging Titus, hey, those who are Christians, encourage them continually that they would maintain good deeds. So we see Paul was writing to Titus, and he said that he just encouraged him that we need to maintain good works. And it will go to Hebrews chapter 13. And we need to acknowledge as Christians, even this evening, that it's God that's going to do the work. And after Thursday night, I realized that, okay, if all that stuff that I've done that hasn't been in the Spirit, then really it's to nothing, really. It's empty. It is empty, just to be honest. And it's easy as a Christian. It's easy as a Christian to go through the motions of Christian life and to do good, so to speak. But really, if it's not Spirit-filled, what's the point? And I just want to encourage you this evening, just if you're going to do good for testimony's sake, but do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not us, but it is God. But in Hebrews chapter 13, 20 and 21, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And it is God that he works to do his will in our lives, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. And it is him that makes us do that which is good. So I want to ask the question, how is your testimony hindering the cause of Christ? And there's many, many Christians that, first of all, by word, they profess to know Christ. But by action, by deeds, they're just really not even Christian. And I want to just ask the question, is that one of you today? It's easy, I'm sorry, after MBF and you're all encouraged and everything, but, you know, it's easy for us to go through the motions of a Christian life and to come to church with our church faces on. But as soon as we leave, how are we at work? Children, how are you at home? How are you just at the shops? And we need to ask that question because it is us that the people are watching. And I'm sharing this with you because I'm grown up in a Lebanese family. And in the Lebanese culture, everybody looks, right? Everybody just assesses your life and they just wait for you to stumble. And it's hard because with the unsaved relatives, they're always watching you and they're waiting for you to just fall. And they just point the finger even if they think that you've done something wrong. And they say, that's not what a Christian's supposed to do. And my friend, you are being watched. For those ones that are seeking after God, they're watching you and they want to know your God, but there's some things in our lives that are hindering them from ever coming to know Christ. And that's the reality of it. So I just want to encourage you, as Paul was encouraging Titus, that you might be careful to maintain good works. And the way we can do it is that we need to have a right view of ourselves. But most importantly, that we have the right view of God, and it's not us that does it, but it is the Holy Spirit that lives in us and works through us. So I just want to leave you with that thought this evening, and I will just close in prayer and I'll call Pastor.